Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the gospel lesson that was read, "Know, Father Abraham, if someone comes back to them from the dead, they will turn to God and change the way they think and act." If anything can go wrong, it will. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything will take longer than you think it will. The imaginary Murphy placed those rules in the hearts of all working and thinking people, it seems. Nothing is as easy as it looks. You probably now know the imperfect of Amy, but when you get to the future, you probably will have forgotten the imperfect. Nothing is as easy as it looks. And third week into the Hebrew classes, even Hebrew looks Greek to some of us. It is strange. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Lazarus did not have it easy. He was poor. He was pathetic and pitiable. He was full of sores, we are told. He is a beggar who must rely on others for survival. He is maimed and probably crippled. He was hungry and longed to be satisfied with the leftover from the dog's food, which was the leftover from the rich man's food. Nothing was easy for him. He had no access to the places where the dogs of the rich man played and walked around and had fun. He was lonely, sickly, rejected, unwanted, looked down upon, isolated, depressed, harassed, troubled. Lonely he was. Life was not easy for him. Oh God, why did you even make me? But there are Lazaruses out in the world who do not think in these terms, even though they may be having lives such as this. You and I may have difficulty choosing which shirt to put on. But when you just have one shirt, there is no challenge of choice coming your way. You and I know that there is lunch waiting out there. But remember, a third of the world's population does not really, literally know what they will eat for lunch or even for supper. You and I have difficulty trading a car, buying a new one, and not knowing where to place the old one. But a fifth of the world's population just depend on their feet to go from place to place. If you and I think that life has really gotten to the bottom line and there is no more place to go under, even that could not be the case. Life could go miserable. There was this other man in the text who never thought of Murphy's Laws, who could have never thought that life could go wrong, who could always have thought that life is as easy as it is. He had food on the table. He had food overflowing from the table. Every day was a party day for him. Every day was a day of celebration for him. He had not probably known isolation, sickness, or sorrow, or unwantedness. There was plenty, too much to go around. Not knowing which of the many shirts he had to put on. Not probably knowing what he could do with all the wealth he had. Would the richest man sitting here or woman please stand up? Well, you don't know my bank account and I don't know yours, so we cannot really figure out who is the richest man here. But let us think how troubled we are. Even though we have food, even though we have clothing, even though we have friends, how troubled we are. Nothing. Nothing is as easy as it looks, even for people who have so-called material conveniences of the world. The Bible, especially Luke's gospel, gives us a lot of narratives which actually tell us of people whose lives were broken, scattered, not knowing where they are going. They had to be persistent in their life. They had to look yonder to really put life together and find its meaning and purpose. Such was the widow. She was persistent. She did not know where she was going. But she knew one thing. If she persisted, she could even change the mind of the so-called unjust judge. Because of her persistence, things will change. She knew that there was a day yonder which would be much better than any of the days that even the most affluent, the rich person would ever have. There was that prodigal son who had walked away from the father, but he also had long moments of waiting in his heart, calling him back to the father, even though he may not have realized it in the beginning of his life. But there was that inner call that brought him back to the father. It was not easy for the father to take him back. It was hard, but he did. Such is a God we have, who, though we think our lives are broken into pieces, is still able to put life together. The rich man wore expensive clothes. He had food on the table. He had party every day. He did not know poverty, hunger, nakedness, suffering, sickness, loneliness. But a day was soon coming. If for Lazarus, death was a departure from these miseries and sorrow. For the rich man, death was the beginning of suffering, just the beginning. And he cries to Lazarus, even to Abraham, the father, "Father Abraham, please send Lazarus of all people down to my father and my brothers and my household so that they can hear his words, so that perhaps if someone from the dead would come back and speak to them, they would hear." Lazarus, on the other hand, is beyond Murphy's laws now. Everything goes right for him. Nothing can go wrong in his life. Everything is as easy as it looks. Everything happens right then. He is in the very presence of God who transcends time. He knows no tears, he has no wants, and he is not isolated. He is surrounded by angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven. A transformation. In the kingdom of God, when God touches down and when God takes control and when God starts ruling in our hearts, including ours, a new set of law comes in, transcending all human laws and regulations. Strange as they are, in the kingdom where the last shall be first, when the least thereof shall be the greatest, shall be greater than the greatest of all, even John the Baptist. When people from the east and the west and the north and the south will come and feast with Abraham, including Lazarus, where there shall not be any more tears or want or hunger or pain. It is all changed. Do we need Lazarus to come back? No, we have the prophets. We have the gospel. We have the very one who died for our sake, but yet came back to life and showed us a taste of heaven, a taste to which he now draws us as we come closer to the table of the Lord, a taste of the new wine, a taste of the celebration which is yonder, which is beyond the struggles and sorrows and difficulties of the day. Yes, in this world we have questions. We have a $1 trillion asset now, surplus, and we don't know what to do with it. We would like to keep Gonzalez here, but he needs to go. Nothing is easy as it looks. No decision can be as easy as it is. We have 1/3 of the world's population who is just Lazarus, not knowing what they will eat, not to speak of their homes or clothing or shelter or travel arrangements, not simply knowing what they will eat. The rich and the poor need to walk together in this world. It has always been the case. Jesus said, the poor will be with you even to the end of the age. Even if someone would come back from the dead, would poverty be destroyed, annihilated? Obviously, no. But there is richness. There is plentitude. There is comprehensive life. There is the fullness of life offered to the rich and to the poorest of the poor as well, because of the abundant life of the very life, even Jesus Christ. To that table and to that invitation, let us go. Let us be blessed by his presence, a presence that will move with us into a broken world, into a scattered community, into a starving and hungry world. God grant this for Christ's sake. Amen.